Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
We are in Matthew. We have just read about the time of the New Testament starting when Jesus died on the cross and made an end to the Old Testament law through his death on the cross. So we are right at that cutting point when Jesus gave himself for us, right between the Old and New Testament. So get your Bible and a cup of coffee and come join us. We just read pretty much most of Matthew or Mark chapter 15. So if we talk about something, because this is a brand new tape, this is a new day, this is going to be on the radio, so why don't we make sure we read enough of the scriptures so we can talk about it? So we're not just talking and seem like we're talking into the air. Why don't we read it, just the sections we're going to talk about, and then talk about it? Does that sound good? Because somebody might have not have heard yesterday's radio broadcast or last week's radio broadcast. Some places we're on once a week. Some places you might hear it every day.
Sure. So this is, am I reading in Matthew or Mark? This is
Matthew. You brought this out of Matthew.
Oh, right. Yeah. Last time we were talking about the centurion, and he said, surely, truly, this man was the Son of God. And there was some more that had happened in Matthew that adds to this. And I'm going to read in Matthew 27, starting in verse 50. And it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'"
So that one said the centurion and those who were with him were also then what?
Keeping guard. They were
watching. Centurions, yeah.
Yeah.
And filled with awe. And said, it sounded like they said it in unison. So is that the only thing you saw? You mentioned something else though, Jordan, too, before we broke last time, or before it ended.
If I remember, Andy was talking about how the only one there who had anything to say towards Jesus with any kind of regard for him was the centurion. This was the non-believer who was saying this. Not all the other people who were there watching, making fun of him. It was the centurion.
The religious people that were around him were all mocking him, spitting on him. They had been beating him, and they were waiting for, they were into his being tortured, but the centurion had a whole different attitude and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." In Mark, but Matthew said all these people, it said the centurion and those who were with him kept watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake, and they were filled with awe and said, it sounds like they said, "This is the Son of God." So it wasn't just the centurion, but look at the type of people versus the religious ones that were out for blood.
Yeah, and also I just noticed this. It said that the, I lost my spot here, when the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, so he was real close. He wasn't standing at a distance.
And here's a soldier.
So this didn't happen from 10 feet away. This was like face to face. He was real close to him.
Yeah, like you would be watching over somebody that's on their deathbed.
Yeah.
And also there were many women looking on from afar. It says that both in Matthew and Mark. And the ones who had followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him, among those were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee that wanted to have her kids sit on Jesus' right and left. And then it mentions in another place, Salome was another one of the women. Mary Magdalene, yeah, again. Now, Mark says, and also many other women who came up with him. It's fun putting all together. So there sounds like it sounds like more women than men were attending, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, they weren't after them because they didn't follow Jesus around like the men did.
Like the 12 apostles did. And they had, the ones that you would think wouldn't, if you were to guess and you hadn't read this, you would have guessed all the disciples.
They're going to be standing there.
They're going to be there. Every one of them gone.
They're not there. They're not there at all.
The women were there till his death. And so was this centurion. And he witnessed. And I think didn't have to pay some of them a bribe or something later on. It says, oops, I shouldn't have
said that. In Matthew. No, I think it did talk about that in Matthew.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for saving me. Also, I think Andy caught me say yesterday's radio show that telling Peter that before the cock crowed, he would deny me three times. Did I say it finally right that time? Before the cock would crow, he would have he would have already denied him three times.
Yes.
So I corrected that a day late.
And something about these centurions, they work for the Romans, and the Romans were very famous in history for crucifying people, and they perfected it to an art to make people suffer as long as they could. And they were amazed when Jesus died in just 3 hours.
It was the cruelest form of death.
It was the cruelest form of death, and
ever.
They perfected it.
Ever.
And so this man who was right on Jesus enough to see him saw. Now, can you imagine if you'd have done, I would doubt that these centurions had never done a crucifixion before. And what would you have heard from people that you're killing like this? But yet Jesus said nothing to them, nothing against anybody else, only cried out to God. That's going to set you apart from everybody else you've ever seen in your life. And this man, in a way, he was leaning towards being converted.
You know, something just came to me. Talking about centurions, Jesus has had another interaction with a centurion back in Matthew. You said this last time, Andy, and now I'm this is in Matthew 8. This is one of the... I'd better just read it. He had a centurion come up to him because his daughter was sick. I'm looking just for the context. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring him. Now, this is the centurions are over 100, and I believe they're the Roman. It's reference to a Roman.
Like a sergeant or a...
Yeah. They're an officer, and they have people that they are responsible for. Came to him imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed. Oh, it was his servant. It was paralyzed. Interesting. And at home, fearfully tormented, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly, or amen, I think another, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And look that there's another centurion here with him.
Not a disciple, not a Jew, not a religious person, but a soldier.
And both of these centurions said, one of them says, truly this man was God's son. And Jesus said of the other one, I've not seen this kind of faith. So these are total outsiders, these two centurions located in
aliens.
Two separate books, even one at his death.
Honorable men. How far did we read in Mark? Mark 15, did we finish the whole chapter? Did we read about the preparation? And
yeah, we read
I read
Mark
all the way to
15.
47.
Okay, so we read the whole thing. So we can talk about that. Have you guys all said all the things that you've seen in this that are important? Okay. Let's read that last part again. Read 42 to 47. Would you mind doing that, Andy?
And when even was come, since it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a counselor of honorable estate, who also himself was looking for the kingdom of God, and he boldly went in unto Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, asked him if he were already dead. And when he learned it of the centurion, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And he brought a linen cloth, and taking him down, wound him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid.
Isn't it interesting that Pilate, not the religious people, granted a respectful burial for Jesus. Now, the Jews are going to do something different, the religious people.
They were. You don't know, but they didn't get a chance, did they?
No. They were going to do something else, dishonorable. And yet, this is how the government treated him, and it was totally different. The Jews, the religious people, should have been treating him with honor, should be respecting him, and everything wrong they did because they had envy. It says for envy they delivered him. Jordan lets out a sigh. I mean, you could. I think Jordan is,
you know,
feeling the pain.
It's sad because in a way, all of us want to follow God. We all care about our salvation. We want to have the love of God in our heart, soul, might, and strength. And people who claim to do that, that other people are following, and they betray and murder the one person that they all claim to be waiting for to come save them, and they don't even think twice about it.
Who did the greatest thing ever? We're talking about the greatest thing anybody could have done is to die in my place, die in your place. And the people that should have seen it did not see it. They've been reading the Bible. They were caretakers of the Bible, but they weren't really understanding it. They weren't living by it.
It's upsetting.
I saw that on you. You know, it's funny. The Bible does bring out emotions in you if you really take it to heart. It'll change you.
You know, and the caution here is, you know, one of the things that people will do who really care about you is they'll tell you when you're wrong, and they'll tell you that you're the one who has to change, and it's not somebody else's job to do it for you. And that leaves you a choice. You could either understand that this is something that's being done by someone who's trying to help you and cares about you and your salvation, or you could get mad and shoot the messenger kind of attitude, like what they're doing. Right, thinking if you just don't listen to it, then it must not be true, right? What does that say about what's in a person's heart, though, right? One of the things that God commanded is that you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't bear false witness, you know, these Ten Commandments. And here are these people who are supposed to be leaders are doing exactly the opposite and have no idea, or either they don't know or they don't care. But this is all being done in deception, and it's all being done for their benefit, and not the least bit of it was done to help somebody else who really needed help.
And yet later on, one of their own turns and becomes one of the mighty men in the scriptures. There's the hand is out to all, and God's kindness is to all. Why don't we read chapter 16? Can you read the whole thing, Andy, and
sure,
and put this together? Then we can still talk about it, even if we have to in the next show.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. And they were saying among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they behold, and the stone is rolled back, for it was exceedingly great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Be not amazed. You seek Jesus the Nazarene, the crucified one. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he said to you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to them that they had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, disbelieved. After these things, he was manifested in another form to two of them walking as they were proceeding into the country. And they went away and reported to the rest, neither believed they them. And afterward he was manifested to the 11 themselves that they sat at meat, and he rebuked them, their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him risen from the dead. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Who hath believed and is baptized shall be saved, but who hath disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that have believed. In my name they shall cast out demons, speak with tongues, and in their hands they shall take up serpents. And if they drink aught deadly, it shall nowise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed.
So here is the greatest event that happened to mankind in chapter 15, and it continues on to 16 because there's an "and" also. There's the first word. Chi is a connective word. It's like a big plus. But there are different parts of it that are broken out by these contexts, but this is a whole passage connected by and then the result. Now, when he had risen on the first day of the week, but the which is another subject, because Jesus died, shed his blood, and on the third day was raised. But his death and his being buried in chapter 15 and part of 16 is the greatest event, the greatest gift that God could ever give to mankind, is the salvation of our souls, the saving of our lives. And the whole focus of the New Testament is Jesus' death, of what he did those 3.5 years. Well, he was here 33.5 years. But the greatest thing was not his birth. It was not him 12 years old talking to the people that were the leaders of the church. And they were marveling at how much he understood. He was listening to them and also reasoning with them. But those weren't the greatest thing. The greatest thing he ever did was to die for us. This is the highlight. It changes people if they really understand that. And it's also behooves us to die with him, to be buried with him, in a sense that the old man is buried with him when we become a new person. So what else was important in this, like verse 6 or chapter 16 or whatever, anything else?
I did notice, this could just be something that there was a second time that there was a young man mentioned with white. And the one place when they were arresting him, it said he was wearing a sheet, but this is a young man wearing a white robe.
Yeah, I was going to read in Matthew 28 because it says who that is. It says, and behold, there was a, this is Matthew 28, 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards quaked for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, whom has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said, come see the place where he was laying.
Oh, this one said when they entered.
We'll go back. Pilate is the one that had a guard, because the chief priest said before in verse 62 of Matthew, the next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, we remember how that imposter, they called Jesus that imposter, said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. You know, here are the religious leaders calling Jesus that imposter. God, they call them that. And they said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. Therefore, order the sepulcher, the tomb site, to be secure until the third day, lest his disciples steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud be worse than the first. So Pilate said, have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure. So they went and made the sepulcher secure and sealed it. They were not done yet.
Yeah.
They wanted it signed, sealed, and delivered. So after the Sabbath, toward the dawn, this is when this happened. There was a great earthquake and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, this is still no disciple to be found.
That's it.
Still no disciples.
There's a lot of people trying to get them.
And the fact is—
Yoo-hoo, where are you?
They don't believe.
This is all the people who said they wouldn't deny him just recently. Now they're nowhere to be found. And when they've been told now two different times, they still won't believe it. What happened? What happened to them? And then Jesus actually just appeared to all of them all at the same time. He says he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. I just, he
manly
says,
men, Jordan. They are manly men, and here all the women are there, and a non-Jew, mm-hmm. The centurion is there, and watching this closely. Yeah, where are the disciples?
It says that he appeared in a different form. So
to the two?
Yeah, it's because Jesus was coming and talking to people. It says here that he talked to Mary and then the two people. And I think there's more written about that in another place. But he had gone and been talking to people. And it wasn't his appearance that was... They didn't understand who he was. They were going off of something else to try to do it. Although what they lacked, the connector from them being able to realize that this was Jesus, he tells them what it was. He tells them why they didn't know it was him. It was because they had unbelief and hardness of heart. I mean, he'd gone through this in Jerusalem in Matthew and Mark, telling them in 3 days, I'm going to come do this. I'm going to come and go and meet you guys in Galilee.
Well, Peter had faith that he would do that. He had faith that he would stand by Jesus all the way to the end. He really did. But it says, this faith that we need is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. It has to be God's faith, the faith that comes from God. This faith, not of yourselves, mm-hmm. it's a gift of God. So it's not beating your chest or building up, pacing through your house, trying to build up your faith. It's a gift of God. And I think it's a Dorian gift. It's a gift that it requires us to do something, which is repent.
Oh.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. The Dorian gift?
Interesting. It's in Matthew. Jesus said, how did it go? If you receive somebody who he sent, you're receiving me, right? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
We can come to know Jesus through somebody else. And
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And now he's saying that those people are sent people, or I'm probably extrapolating a little too much, but they came and reported it and they didn't believe him. So they wouldn't have even believed if it was Jesus, if he wouldn't have made it obvious. And I didn't know that before it says
it shows that they denied Jesus and they denied the ones sent by Jesus. Those two.
Mm-hmm. And this was literally sent by Jesus in this case.
And it's all right to not believe the women. No, he bawled them out for not believing anybody.
Well, I think a lot of us can agree our lives would be easier if we listened to our wives the first time.
I would say
I didn't believe that before I was married, but now I do.
I believe that one.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I heard the gospel from the first time from a woman, and that's a pattern.
And what was her name, first name?
Her name was Mary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andy's raising his hand.
Me too.
Maureen and Mary.
Me too.
I did too, my mother.
See? Well, there's three out of three.
I just thought about that.
There's just three out of three sitting here.
And now here's...
And you know why? Because they loved us. Because of love. Brotherly love or, you know...
Maureen loves the lost.
She does. God, please bring her back in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Jordan.
Jesus gave him a job to do. So Jesus just died, and he'd been talking all this time about how the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and now it's time, and he's sending people, right?
And you'll have to continue this the next time. We just run out of time, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.